42. I would love to be able to have the opportunity, perhaps in the Old Testament, my favorite chapter is Isaiah chapter 40. It's quite a lengthy chapter. I would encourage you to read it. It's an encouragement to, it will be an encouragement to you. And we will reference chapter 41 this morning, but our text is actually Isaiah 42, starting at verse 1. Reading God's word, it says, "Behold my servant, whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighted. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. He shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment in the earth, and the isles shall wait for his law. Thus saith the Lord, the God, the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, and he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it. He giveth breath unto the people and spirit to them that walk therein. I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images." May the Lord add his blessing to this portion of his word. Let us pray. Father, give us understanding of your word, give us application of your word, and may we go forth from this place rejoicing, for it's in Christ's name that we pray it. Amen. It's beginning to look a lot like Christmas, wouldn't you say? The decorations are around, the carolers are out, the Christmas specials are on TV, and this is, some would say, the most joyous time of the year, and certainly for many people it is the most joyous time of the year, but for many people it is a very difficult and hard time. For those that have lost loved ones this year, the first Christmas, I remember the first Christmas that my mother was gone. It was not only hard for my father, but it was hard for us as children. I know that even if it's been many years ago, that many times that is still a hard time of year. It's a hard time, especially if there is a rift in relationships, rift in the family. It seems to be more accentuated at the time of the Christmas season, the Advent season. Last week we heard the message of the angels, and in fact, it was just told me that it was put up on our website, and if you're interested in listening to that, if you were not here or would like to go back over it, we said that the message of the angels at the birth of Christ was the same message that the angels gave at the resurrection of Christ. We saw that angels were very much involved in the life of Christ, and we saw that the angels gave a message of peace, fear not. They gave a message of promise. They gave a message of potential, a message of preparation, and a message of purpose. Well, as we come to Isaiah 42, it says, "Behold my servant." And I guess what took my mind to this passage of Scripture is the word that we find in Luke chapter 2, where the angel said, "Behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and the glory of the Lord came around about them, and they were sore afraid." And then it goes on, telling them to behold the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my mind came to Isaiah 42, where it says, "Behold my servant." And so the question is, who is the servant here that is in this text? You might read Isaiah 41 and look at verse 8, and it says, "But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob, whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend." Now, we could use just that verse and speak a lot from just that verse. But if we look at that verse, we think immediately, well, the servant is Israel. And throughout Isaiah, particularly the last 29 chapters, we see that Israel is called the Lord's servant. But when we come to Isaiah chapter 42, he says, "Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect in whom my soul delight. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment," or justice, "to the Gentiles." And as you look at this, you say, that doesn't seem to be Israel. That seems to be an individual. And in fact, it is in fact an individual. Turn with me, keep your finger here, because we're coming back to Isaiah. I can tell you infallibly. Now, there's not much that I can tell you infallibly, because I'm a man just like you. But I can tell you infallibly who this servant of the Lord is. And so if you'll turn with me to Matthew chapter 12, I can tell you that infallibly because the Word of God tells us and because the Lord Jesus himself tells you. Now, when I say because Jesus and the Word of God, I'm not distinguishing that it's more important. You know, some people have words of Christ in red. I don't have a problem with that as long as you realize that every word is the word of the Lord. Every word is inspired by God. And so, but our Lord said these when he was on this earth. And if you look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 17. "That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved, in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, and a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth his judgment unto victory, and in his name shall the Gentiles trust." And so we have infallibly a definition and an identification who the servant of the Lord is here in Isaiah 42. When we look at the servant of the Lord that is found in the book of Isaiah, we find out that Israel indeed is the servant of the Lord. In fact, many people are identified as the servant of the Lord. David was identified that way. Moses was identified that way. Israel collectively as a nation was to be the servant of the Lord. They were called to be the servant of the Lord. But can I tell you this morning that Israel failed and failed miserably to be the servant of the Lord that God had called them to be. And so God had to raise up another one who would be the servant of the Lord that would fulfill the mission and fulfill the purpose for which God had called Israel. And Jesus Christ was that one who God called and who God sent to be the servant of the Lord. I want us to look at Isaiah chapter 42. We've identified that this servant of the Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. It is none other than the angel that announced that, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all peoples, for unto you is born this day in the city of David," what is it? Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And so this one is the one that the angel declared. And here the prophet Isaiah is saying, "Behold my servant, look at Jesus." And this morning, folks, I want us to look at Jesus. I believe that many times we lack in what we need. We lack in our power and in our motivation and living the way we should because we fail to look at, we fail to consider Jesus Christ. And so the first thing as we behold or consider the Lord Jesus Christ, I want you to see that in verse 1, he says, whom I have upheld. I want you to turn over just one chapter to Isaiah 43. This is a verse, the last part of verse 1 and verse 2, that many people have underlined in their Bibles. I would heartily encourage you. It says, O Israel, O people of God, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. And we see that the servant of the Lord, if that was true of Israel, if that was true of the people of God, how much more is it true with the Lord Jesus Christ? Behold my servant whom I've upheld. Have you ever considered that Jesus, being God, come in the flesh, needed the strength and the power of his Father and the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit? You know, folks, the book of Hebrews tells us that Jesus was a man just like us. He was in the image and the fashion of man, and that he needed that strength that his Father and that the Spirit would give him. But notice what else it says there. Not only is it the servant, the one that he's upheld, but he's my elect. He's my chosen one. And then thirdly, it says, in whom my soul delighted. You remember at the day of his baptism, the voice from heaven that said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, you heard the voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And if you go back to Psalm 8, it tells us, or Psalm 2, excuse me, Psalm 2 tells us that thou art my beloved Son. It's a quotation from Psalm number 2. So there was the prophecy that it would be. There was the accomplishment of it. And here we have in Isaiah 42 where it tells us that he would indeed be delighted in his servant, in his Son. And then it goes on. That's his resources. That's the servant's resources. That's Jesus' resources. The upholding power of God. The election of God. The chosen. That you're mine. And then also the Spirit, or the Spirit that was upon him. And the delight that God the Father. What was he going to do? What was he going to do? What is this servant? What was Jesus coming to do? It says he shall come, bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. The word judgment and righteousness and justice all are related concepts. And basically what he's saying is, I'm going to put righteousness in place. I'm going to put righteousness. I'm going to put things in order. I'm going to establish justice. And in verse number 3, he says that he's going to bring forth judgment or justice unto truth. It tells us there in verse 4 that he is going to set justice or judgment in the earth, in the isles, the uttermost parts of the earth shall wait for his law. Then he goes on and says, not only is he going to bring justice to the ends of the earth, to the Gentiles, it says in verse 6 that he is going to be a light for the Gentiles. The last phrase of verse 6 says, he will be a light to the Gentiles. It reminds us of the message of the angel that said that it will be to all peoples and for all peoples. That was a radical concept to the Jews of that day, but it was not radical in the eyes of God, because God had predicted and said that it was going to happen from even back in Isaiah, which was 170 years before, or 700 years before the time of Christ. This was predicted. And then it says, not only will it be a light to the Gentiles in verse 7, it says that he will open blind eyes. Do you remember when Jesus opened the blind eyes? Do you remember the man born blind? And he healed that man. And the people came to him, the Pharisees came to him and said, well, who sinned, this man or his parents? And he said, none, but that the glory of God might be displayed. To open blind eyes. In verse 7 it says that he will bring out the prisoners. We could go to Mark 5, but I won't do it this morning. At that man that they tried to bind in chains, and he busted out of the chains. He always would bust out of the chains and the cords. He was possessed by the demons. And though they could not hold him with chains, though he could not hold him in the prison bars, this man was imprisoned like no other man who was in physical chains and physical bonds. And God and the Lord Jesus Christ, the servant of the Lord, came and delivered him from those chains and those bonds of the spirits that held him fast. And so we see these are the things that the Lord Jesus is going to do. Look with me at verse 5, would you please? You say, all right, we're looking at Jesus. We're looking at what he did. We're looking at God the Father who loved him and who approved of him and who was strengthening him. But who is God? Well, he defines himself for us. Verse 5, thus saith God the Lord, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, he that giveth bread unto the people upon it, and the spirit to them that walk therein. Now we can read through that verse very quickly, but if we drill down on it and if we look at it, we see that he says, first of all, the one who is the creator will do this. We see the one that stretched out the universe. Have you ever looked at the planetary system, the beauty of it, the organization of it? They say that if Earth was just a little bit further away from the sun, we would freeze. If we were a little bit closer to the sun, we would burn up. God has put it in its exact order and its exact place. But not only is he the creator, not only is he the sustainer, but he has spread forth, it says. He's made the topography of the earth, and he has made the planet, the plants and the animals that are there. And then it goes on and says he's given breath to all the people. This God who has sustained the Son, the servant, he has created you and me. He has put the breath within our bodies. Then if we go to verse 6, it's merely a restatement of verse 1. He says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness. I will hold thine hand and will keep thee and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light unto the Gentiles. How is he going to do that? How is he going to call us in righteousness? How is he going to hold our right hand? How will he keep us? And this, I guess if we were going to say what is the pinnacle or what is the point of the message, this would be it. We see, how is he going to do that? We find this back in verse 2 and verse 3. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. You remember we went to Matthew chapter 12, where Jesus says, this is a prophecy of me. He had just healed on the Sabbath day. And the Pharisees were out to get him. The Pharisees were out to do away with him. And Jesus retreats. He goes into a solitary place. But in that solitary place, the people followed him. And it says that he healed them. The sick and the weary and those who were the outcast. They followed him and he healed them. And so we see here that he will not cry. He didn't strive. He didn't say, I'm going to take over this place, you wicked people. It says that he didn't cry or lift up, nor cause any voice to be heard in the street. Now we come to verse 3 and it says, a bruised reed shall he not break. You know, reeds are a very useful thing. Reeds were used to be a measuring instrument. I know at times that I have not had a tape measure or available. And so what I would do is I would get a stick that perhaps I knew how long it was. And many times I would have a piece of paper And I knew it was 11 inches long, so I'd get the stick and I'd measure it. Okay, there's 11 inches. And then I'd put it down and measure it out. And they would do that with a reed. A reed could be a measuring stick. A reed could be used as a walking stick. A reed could be made into a flute or for a pipe. A reed could be used as a pen. A reed could be woven into baskets. A reed could be used as a spear, as a weapon, or spearing a fish. And so reeds had a lot of uses. But a reed that was bruised was useless. A reed that was broken and just bent over was not useful. What do you usually do with something that is broken? I don't know about you, but usually I throw it away. Usually I do away with it. But the servant of the Lord, who Jesus identified to be himself, says, "This bruised reed I will not break." And it goes on, and he says, "And the smoking flax shall he not quench." The flax could be made into thread, could be made into cloth. But in this text, it's made into a wick. And you would have a little lamp, an oil lamp, and it would have a spout, and they would put this wick, they would put this flax in there. And as long as there was oil in that lamp, as long as that flax had been soaked in oil, then it would continue to draw the oil. But when it came to the end of its resources, then what would happen? Instead of giving light, it would start smoking. Now, I don't know if you've ever had a torch that's just smoking instead of giving light. It's noxious. It's that which you would reject. It's that which you would again throw out. It's that which you would get rid of. But notice that he doesn't put out the wick. He doesn't put out the flax. It says there that he will not quench it. He will not put it out. He shall bring forth judgment unto the truth. He will bring justice unto the truth. I want you to see something very important here this morning. The Lord Jesus Christ, the one that the angel said was born this day in the city of David, the Lord Jesus Christ who came to die on the cross for our sins, the Lord Jesus Christ who came to save his people from their sins. It says that he will not break the bruised reed. He will not snuff out the smoking flax. Who are these ones? Who are these ones that are the bruised reed and the smoking flax? I'm going to read to you this morning from Mark chapter 2, verse 17. He said, Jesus said unto them, "They that are whole have no need of the physician, but they that are sick. I come not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." You know, many times as we reach out to people, we think of, let's reach out to all those that have it all together. Jesus said, he came not to the ones that had it all together. He didn't come to call the righteous. He didn't come to call the well. He came to call those that understood that they were broken, that they were lost, and that they needed fixing. And so I would submit to you here that it is the Lord Jesus. And we see as we looked at Matthew chapter 12, the people that came, they were sick. They needed to be healed. They were lost, and he found them. And so these ones that are bruised reeds and smoking flax are those that are in need of a Savior, those that are in need of being fixed, those that are in need of being made whole. But not only that, I think we can make application to you and to me. As we began today, we said that many find this time of the year a very difficult time. There are many damaged people. There's many bruised reed. There's many smoking flax. There's many that all they can do, they can't wait for December 25th, not because they're looking forward to it, but that it be over with. Everybody else around them seems to be joying and rejoicing, and they're in misery. And our tendency is to say, oh, fooey with them. They're Grinches, they're Scrooges, they're just ignore them. But I don't see that is what our Savior is doing. He says he's not going to do away with those that are bruised or those that are smoking. But he's going to come beside. And look at what verse 4 says. It says, he, that's the servant, that's Jesus Christ, shall not fail nor be discouraged till he have set judgment. Can I just put a commentary there? Till he has set things right. Till he has set things right in the earth. And the isle shall wait for his law. I want to show you a very interesting thing. You see in verse 3 it says a bruised reed. That word is the same word for, in verse 4, discouraged. A bruised reed. He shall not fail nor be bruised. And then the word smoking flax, it's the same word for fail. He shall not fail. And so the Spirit of God is giving us understanding that the Lord Jesus Christ will not fail, will not be discouraged from the task that he is given. The servants here, you and me, are damaged. And sometimes, maybe I'm making a revelation that I shouldn't make. Sometimes I don't even know what's wrong with me. You ever had that situation where you're discouraged, you're despondent? There's no reason for it, but you just are. And sometimes you think, what kind of servant of the Lord am I? Can I just tell you this morning that you're a servant of the Lord just like I am? And I think that Satan comes and tries to attack us many times when we are discouraged and downcast and when we're not performing as we ought to. And Satan would come and say, well, he's going to cut you off. He's going to do away with him. With you. We see the prophecy in Isaiah and we see the fulfillment in Matthew chapter 12, and it says that he will not cut us off. He will not do away from us. When we are damaged, when we're discouraged, when we're displaced, when we're derided, when we're decimated, he will accomplish the task. He will do, set things right in the earth. Did you know that we are to be like our Lord Jesus? He is our example, and we too ought to be those that are strengthening those that are bruised, setting right those that are bruised, those that are smoking. I'd like you to keep your finger there in Isaiah 42. We are coming towards a conclusion. I'd like for you to turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 27. You know, I think that sometimes we think that a Christian is one that's got it all together. And as we become more and more like Christ, and as we grow in our faith, that may be true. But you know, I think of Lazarus in the account that Jesus gives of the rich man and Lazarus, he never had it all together until he got to heaven. But look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says. But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty. I wonder if we could put the bruised reed in there. I wonder if we could put the smoking flax in there. God has chosen the bruised reed. God has chosen the smoking flax of the world to confound the things that are mighty. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. A warning that the Apostle Paul gives us. But take heed, lest by any means of your liberty you become a stumbling block to them that are weak. We don't discredit the weak. We don't do away with the weak. But we come alongside of them. And we try to make things right. Now, we can't do it like Jesus can. But we can be used as instruments. And then look with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 22. Look at what the Apostle Paul says. This is almost unbelievable. He says, to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. But I'd like to take it a step further. We have the lost that are broken, that are bruised reeds and smoking flax. We have believers that are bruised reeds and smoking flax. And that we are to be like Jesus and motivated like Jesus to not speak harshly or loudly or bombastically, but come and it tells us how that he did it there in verse number 2, he shall not cry nor lift up nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. He didn't exert his own authority and his own rights. But can I tell you this morning, as a culmination of it, Jesus became a bruised reed for us. May I go a step further? He not only became a bruised reed, he became a broken reed for you and for me. He became a smoking flax. No, not just a smoking flax, but an extinguished flax for you and for me. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 53, another one of the servant of the Lord passages. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. It says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. If you'll go down to verse 7, he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet opened not his mouth. That's a parallel of verse 2 over there in chapter 42. And then we see in verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off of the land of the living. He was extinguished. He was cut off. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. Brother and sister, starting at his conception, that was a part of his humiliation. At his birth, you know, we rejoice at the birth of a child. We look forward to the birth of a child. And so it was that for unto us a child is born. And the scriptures talk about the rejoicing. But folks, if we look at it from God's perspective, and if we look at it from the perspective of this was God humbling himself
to be born of a virgin. And then going on at the presentation, his presentation at the temple at 12 years of age, he was misunderstood. Know ye not that I should be about my Father's business? Remember at the temptation in the wilderness, the mocking of Satan towards him. Throughout his life, the rejection of men. He was in Nazareth. I'll never forget the day. I was brought up in the church. I went through Bible college. I went through seminary. And I'd read through the scriptures countless times. But there we were in the city of Nazareth. And they took us up to this high mountain. And they said, this is where in the scriptures it said that the people from Nazareth wanted to throw him off the mountain. He was rejected of men. He was despised of men. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. This one who comes to not extinguish a smoking flax, not to break a bruised reed, but comes to establish it and to strengthen it, became cut off for that broken reed, came for that bruised reed and for that smoking flax. That's you and me. Then his crucifixion and his death. The book of Hebrews tells us that he became as man so that he could be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. He became man that he could pay the price of sin. He became our great high priest. He became our Passover lamb. He became our sacrificeable sin. But as we come to a conclusion this morning, folks, can I tell you, He will not always deal with mankind in this way. He will not always deal with not crying or lifting up his voice to be heard in the street. He will not always not break the bruised reed. He will not always not quench the smoking flax. Just go down a little bit in that same chapter in verse 13. Isaiah 42, verse 13. The Lord shall go forth as a mighty man. He shall stir up jealously like a man of war. He shall cry, yea, roar. He shall prevail against his enemies. Could you have a more stark contrast from verse 2? It says in verse 14, I have long time holding my peace. I have been still and refrained myself. Now I will cry out like a travailing woman. I will destroy and devour at once. You see, this one who became a broken reed, who became an extinguished flax, now comes back in great glory and in power. We have here the second advent. Oh, folks, can I tell you this morning that if you're not a Christian, this day is the day of grace. This day is the day of mercy. And he says, I'm not going to break you. I'm not going to put out your flax. Today, come and be made whole through the Lord Jesus Christ. Can I tell you this morning that if you're a believer this morning and you're broken and you're despondent and you're discouraged, and can I tell you that the one who is the God of the universe, who strengthened His servant, who strengthened His Son, has said there in the very next chapter, though you walk through the fire, though you walk through the flood, I will be with you. He will not put you off. He comes. Whom the Lord loves, He chastens, and He knows just the right way to do it. But can I tell you this morning that this one that came as a babe, in a manger, this one that was prophesied in the first few verses of Isaiah 42, is the one that will come in power and great glory and will cut off all those that are his enemies. And every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so this morning, while there is still time, may we seek the Lord. But may I also say that while there is time, may we be like our Savior, taking and strengthening and encouraging those that are broken. I just opened, I went to my mailbox this morning. I had 3 days of mail sitting in there. It was packed. I'm sure the postman didn't like me very much. But I found this in my mailbox. It was a Christmas card I opened up. And it said, "My life was changed. Thank you." I'd like you to read it to you. And I'm sorry, I've got to go back and get my glasses. On May 22nd, 2014, 6 months ago, I went to a Women's Choice for a pregnancy test. When they told me the test was positive, my heart fell to the pit of my stomach. Despite the information I received from the center, I told them that what I was planning to do. I knew that I wanted an abortion. In fact, the father of this baby gave me the money I needed to get an abortion. The ladies at a Women's Choice said that they would pray for me. When it was time for me to go to the abortion clinic, I just was not able to go. I had a change of heart. Instead, I went back to a Women's Choice and had an ultrasound. The ladies there were so happy to see me and shared that God was pleased with me. I continued to come to the center for life steps. I enjoyed each appointment, not because of the things I get, but because of the support and love that is given to me. The ladies at a Women's Choice invest their time in me, share from their own life experiences, and talk with me about God. It goes on and says how blessed we are to have the Women's Choice. I don't know about you, but many times I look at people that are in that state, and whether it be an unwed pregnant girl, or whether it be a bum on the street, a homeless person, many times our reaction is get rid of them, marginalize them. Our Lord says, broken people are who we need to save. May we be like our Savior, who do not despise bruised reeds or smoking flax, but rather seek to be an instrument of God, who would be that one that comes beside to strengthen and encourage. You know, at this time of the year, we tend to give presents and receive presents. Why don't we give the gift of God's love to one another and to those that are without Christ? Coming beside him and helping, encouraging, pointing them to the Lord. That's what our Savior did. Let us walk in his footsteps. Let us pray. Father, I ask you this morning that if there's one that's a broken person that is without the Lord, that Lord, you would meet their needs, come to them right now, and Father, may they put their trust, faith and trust in you. Would your Spirit, we pray that your Spirit would work in their hearts and quicken them, giving them new life. Father, if there's a Christian here today that's hurting, if there's a Christian here that is discouraged, Father, may we not write them off, but may we seek to set right those things. And Father, we know that we are limited. But Lord, we ask that you would help us to be instruments that you would be pleased to use. And Father, we want to thank you this morning for the one that was cut off for us, the one that was extinguished for us, but now lives evermore and is returning to take us to be with himself. Father, we ask you that you would help us to behold the the servant of the Lord, and that we would grow in love, grow in desire for Him. For it's in Christ's name we pray.